We are 11 days out from AEW Dynasty, which is coming up in Philadelphia, less than 2 weeks. And this was the second week in a row that Timeless Toni Storm has closed out the show. We had a big pull-apart brawl to close Dynamite last week between Toni Storm and Megan Bain. And tonight, she was featured, both women actually, featured in a tag team match in the main event. The second week in a row for Toni. And look, she's one of their most popular stars, one of the top five, at least five, if not three, most popular stars in the entire company. And the people go nuts for her when she's out there. I have no issue with it. But I was just thinking, like, when was the last time the Women's World Champion closed back-to-back episodes of Dynamite? I don't know. I mean, if it's happened before, it's been a while since that's happened. But we had a tag team match that ended with Megan Bain pinning the AEW Women's World Champion. Toni Storm threw everything that she could at this woman, and it did not work. And that was the story when the show was over. The look on Toni Storm's face, she was shook. She was gotten to. She could not figure out Megan Bain. They have done everything in their power over the last several weeks, without Megan Bain even saying a word, to build this woman up as this unstoppable force and make you think that there's nothing Toni Storm can do to combat this woman, and we may well end up with a brand new Women's World Champion. Do I think that they're actually going to do a title change? I don't, but I'm very curious what they end up doing for the finish of that match if they don't, because I do think there's a way that you can have Megan lose, but not completely kill the momentum that they've built up with her so far. That's going to be very interesting to see how they handle that. But I don't think they could have done a better job up to this point than they have done with Megan. They've made her look like an absolute beast, and now we'll see what happens when they get to Dynasty. But also on the show, we had a face-to-face between Swerve Strickland and Jon Moxley. They are, of course, going to be meeting a Dynasty for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship, and it was more of the same from Moxley. It was more of the same from the Death Riders. Swerve, I thought, was very good in the segment. And when it was over, I was only left with one thought, one hope, one realization, which is what I've been saying and thinking for weeks, and I'm sure many of you are thinking and feeling the same way, which is that this needs to end only one way at Dynasty, which is a brand new champion, which we did not get at Revolution, but Dynasty, Swerve, right place, right time. I hope to God it happens. I don't know how many more months of this, honestly. The AEW World Championship really has felt like it's been held hostage. And at some point, you know, you've got to say, okay, it's time to move on from this. Swerve is that guy, and I'm just hoping. I'm just hoping that they do the right thing in Philadelphia and we get a title change on that show. Adam Copeland is no longer in the world title picture. He was, however, in a sit-down interview with FTR on the show tonight, and you can kind of get a sense now of where things are heading. I think you could get a sense last week too, but you got a sense of where things are heading as far as the friendship, the partnership between Cope and FTR. What we do know is that they're going to be challenging the Death Riders for the Trios titles at Dynasty, and I don't see that going so well for them. And then, of course, we have a bunch of other things to get into. We'll get into the weeds a bit more. On the whole, though, I thought it was an enjoyable show. Was it a show that if you missed it, you have to go back because there was so much that you missed that you've got to go back and get caught up? No, not really, honestly. I mean, and so I wish there was some more on this show. There were some people who were missing, like Will Ospreay wasn't there, Ricochet wasn't there. Apparently, he's getting married. That's what he said. He and Samantha Irvin, I guess, are getting married. But so there were some faces missing. I do wish that there were some more important segments on the show than what we got tonight. But what we did get, I thought was enjoyable. On the whole, I thought it was a good show. Let's see if you agree. We'll get into it here. This is your AEW Dynamite review for March 26th, 2025. I am the Solemn Monster. Thank you so much for hanging out with me here on a Wednesday night. Like and subscribe. Super chats are open. We got a goal going in the chat, and we have a poll going in the live chat. No Twitter poll, but we have a poll here on YouTube, and we'll check out those results a little bit later so you guys can go vote. Let us get into this show here, though, because they opened the show with the international champion, Kenny Omega, right? Will Ospreay was not on the show, but Kenny Omega was on the show. And he was getting a warm-up match before his three-way title defense at Dynasty, which is coming up quick. Again, 11 days away. Christian, not that Christian, Blake Christian, he pie-faced Omega. He flipped him the bird. All that did was fire up Omega. Christian gouged his eyes and then delivered a spear on the apron. And as the action returned to the ring, Kenny intercepted his springboard with a knee strike and then followed with some snapdragons. Omega followed with a neck breaker and a V-trigger and then put Christian away with the one-winged angel for the quick win. So that's really all it was. It was a quick win for Omega to get him on the show and then get to what came after the match, which was him taking the microphone and saying that it's unfortunate that he can't wrestle every week like he would like to, but he promised that he would make it quick tonight, so Tony Khan had no choice but to sign on the dotted line to make him wrestle. Omega said that it'll be a lot longer of a battle at Dynasty when he faces Ricochet and Speedball Mike Bailey, and right on cue, we had Speedball making his way down to the ring, and he congratulates Omega on his win, saying that he's an inspiration and that he admires Kenny as a person and a champion, but come Dynasty, he will not hold back or hesitate to kick his head clean off and take the international title. So the crowd booed this. I mean, they booed Bailey when he came out, but when he started talking shit about Kenny, they started booing him, and he smiled and he leaned into it. He was kind of cupping the ear a little bit. And then Ricochet interrupted on the big screen, said as much as he would like to be there in person, fortunately for everybody in this situation, today is his wedding. It is the best day of his life until April 6th. When he beats Cornball and the former Best Bout Machine to become the international champion. I don't know how Samantha is going to feel about that. That their wedding day is his favorite day, the best day of his life, only until April 6th. So, this obviously was a pre-tape video, and I don't know what happened here. Ricochet sounded like a subway conductor here on the Q train in New York. I mean, the audio was horrendous on this video, and even worse, it was out of sync. So his lips were moving, but it was a couple of seconds off. So Omega said congratulations are in order, but Dynasty is not about making friends. He has a cat. He doesn't need any more friends. Yes, but is it a solid-ass cat? That's what I would like to know. Does he have a solid-ass cat? Like Stone Cold Steve Austin. Actually, Stone Cold Steve Austin has two solid-ass cats. Posted another update on his Instagram today with Poncho and Macho. For those of you who are into the Stone Cold cat content, I'm just giving you a heads up on that. He says, as big of a piece of garbage as Ricochet is, Bailey is not. He is not Omega's friend, as there's only one thing that Kenny has time for, his legacy, the international title. Omega said that both Bailey and Ricochet are stepping stones for him and bids the crowd adieu, goodbye, and goodnight, and he does the closing line. This was a quick statement win here for Omega against Christian, I had to check on this because I was like, when the hell was the last time we saw Blake Christian on Dynamite? I know he's been hanging around Ring of Honor now for the longest time. The last time that Blake Christian was on Dynamite, you would have to go back to 2023. And that was one appearance. So this was his second ever appearance on Dynamite. And it didn't last very long. The post-match, I thought it was simple. It was effective enough outside of Ricochet cutting a promo from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. They showed footage of Bandido regaining his brother Gravity's mask on Collision. And also, they had footage of the kid. I'm sure some of you saw the footage. They had this out on their social media a few days ago of the little kid that Jericho got into a little tiff with at ringside at Collision, the little kid that flipped him off, and was going back and forth with him pretty well, too. I was entertained by that. That kid one day may be wrestling Negative One. We'll see. But the learning tree is backstage. Jericho says it's time for all the masks to be removed. He said Big Bill and Brian Keith, they have been under the branches of the learning tree now for far too long without using the wisdom that he has bestowed upon them. He questions if they believe that it's still worth it being associated with him. That's a great question. I'm not even going to answer that question because I think you know the answer. If so, though, he says, prove it to him. Bill and Keith, they go walk off. Jericho continues his promo. He congratulates Bandido on getting Gravity's mask back. But he didn't want Gravity's mask. He doesn't want that. He wants Bandido's mask. And so Jericho challenges Bandido to a title versus mask match at Dynasty. He asks if it's worth it. Is it worth the sacrifice to possibly make Bandido's mother cry again? He thinks it is. And so he will see him at Dynasty. So at least now we know when that title is coming off of Jericho. It's coming off of Jericho at Dynasty. Because usually around this time, like around WrestleMania time, Ring of Honor will do the Supercard of Honor show. Pretty sure they did one last year. They made the decision not to do one this year, or at least push it back. I think they might be doing it, but I want to say it's in May. So without there being a really big Ring of Honor show for a while, they have to do the title match, and I presume the title change at Dynasty, but the sooner the better. And Bandido, you know, it sucks that he got hurt previously and he was out for so long. Bandido is great, and it's time to get that title onto him, let him run with it for a while. What Jericho does after this, frankly, I don't really care, but the time for the title change is clearly coming up quick. After this, we had MJF out to the ring to address MVP's invitation to him. Remember the business card? He gave him the business card for the Hurt Syndicate, and MJF has had time to mull the offer over, and now he was coming out here tonight on this show to give his answer. He took out MVP's business card, and he invited him to the ring to talk because he says he's been looking at this card for 2 weeks now. So here comes MVP, and he's got his pimp cane with him. He gets loud chants, and then the crowd starts chanting, "We hurt people. We hurt people," over and over again. MJF says, "We can all agree that MVP is a legend in the sport," compliments the new cane that he's using. After everything that happened between MJF and Adam Cole, he promised himself that he would never do the friends thing again. But there's something he noticed about Montel. He kept calling him Montel. He doesn't do friends either. He does business. MJF said that his decision is he would like to be in the business of hurting people as well. And MJF offered his hand. Before MVP could shake it, though, we heard the Hurt Syndicate theme, and here come the tag team champions, Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin. Benjamin gets a huge reaction, loud ovation here, because he went to the University of Minnesota. He was a Golden Gopher. They were in Minnesota tonight, so, of course, he got a warm reception. And we got a tense face-off between Lashley and MJF. Lashley did not look very happy about any of this. And Lashley offered his hand, which MJF initially thought was for a handshake, but it wasn't. And Lashley told him, "I want the card. Give me the business card." So MJF fishes it back out of his jacket. He hands him the business card, and Lashley rips the card in half. And then he puts his fist up to MJF's face. MJF tells MVP, "Hey, I thought we were cool." And MVP's holding back his man, both of them. MJF leaves the ring because he don't want none of Lashley. So Brian Keith and Big Bill. Now, MJF is gone. We don't see him again. He disappears, okay? Here come Brian Keith and Big Bill. And they don't get into the ring. They stay on the stage. Although, whatever building they were in tonight, again, they're running the smaller venues. This was a very small building. I mean, they may have had 2,500, 3,000 people in the building. I mean, it was hard to tell. It was kind of dark. But like from the stage to the ring, it wasn't that great of a distance. So they just walked out and they stood there. They said, "Don't worry. We're not out here to join your little group therapy session. We have real business to address." MVP told Big Bill to get his bitch on a leash, as Bill said that he sees the tag team titles, but he doesn't see a challenger. And MVP said, "Neither do I," which was a great line. And this was really the theme of this. MVP kept hitting him back hard every time Bill would say something. So Bill said he can't tell if MVP is American Psycho or Iceberg Slim. "Are you a pimp or are you a businessman?" MVP said, "I'm a little bit of both. So I'm about to have my boys make the two of you my bitches." Bill said MVP is the MVP of being the Hurt Syndicate's bitch. Boy, you know, they sure do love throwing that word around, don't they? Once, maybe twice. This was every other sentence here. So he said he never lost. This is Bill now. Big Bill says he never lost the tag team titles. He was never pinned or submitted. That was his partner. Of course, he never named who that partner was, but he said that was his partner that got beat. Sting beat his partner, and then Sting retired before he could ever get a rematch. MVP said, why don't they actually win a match first, and then they might get an opportunity to fight for the tag team titles. So Lashley and Bill, because by this point, the Hurt Syndicate left the ring, and they walked up to the learning tree. We got a face-to-face between Bobby Lashley and Big Bill, and, you know, looking at the two of them face-to-face, and the way that Bill just towered over Lashley, like, they're both big men, but you don't realize, or it's just easy to forget sometimes, how big of a guy Big Bill really is. Because Bobby Lashley's a big SOB, and Bill just towered over him. But this was the match that they were setting up. And this, you know what this reminded me of? Because I mentioned MVP kept hitting Bill back every time Bill came in with a line. This reminded me a little bit of what we saw from Charlotte Flair and Tiffany Stratton on SmackDown last Friday, where it just felt like one of the participants in this was out of their league and was being steamrolled and talked over by somebody else, as if they had all the answers to the quiz before they took the test. That's what this kind of reminded me of a little bit. And Bill did a better job than Tiffany did in her promo, but MVP was just verbally destroying him here. So clearly, when MVP gave Lashley and Benjamin the week off a few weeks ago, he did not inform them of what his intentions were. You know, when he went that night to go meet the first time with MJF, and it's causing some issues. Although there was a segment later in the show, there was a follow-up to this with the Hurt Syndicate. But where do things go now? You know, with the Hurt Syndicate and with MJF, as I've been saying, I think Hangman is going to find out very soon. Could it be a way for them to reintroduce the Young Bucks to the show? I think it could. Because clearly the issues between MJF and Hangman are not over yet. And MJF is not going to join the Hurt Syndicate. But I do think in the end, we'll get like a match with them, or there'll be some kind of loose alliance here. And I think Hangman will get roped into this. Because Hangman is one of these guys right now on the roster. And there's a few of them like this. You know, I'm going to talk about Takeshita later. Takeshita, again, top five in the entire company, one of the best in the world right now. No direction right now. No obvious direction coming out of that international title loss or Revolution. Hangman has declared himself for the Owen Hart tournament, which still, by the way, has no start date. Outside of that, he's not really doing anything. And if this tournament doesn't start for another month, month and a half, what is he doing in the meantime? It's got to be something to do with these guys. So that's where I think it's headed. Renee was backstage with Timeless Toni Storm and Thunder Rosa, who were wrestling Megan Bain and Penelope Ford in the main event tonight. And she also brings up the two of them having tagged a few years ago as Thunderstorm. I think that was like 3 years ago. Toni said, not much has changed since then, but Rosa reminded her so much has changed. Storm has a butler now, and last time Storm tried to knock her out. Storm said, sometimes you make mistakes in the heat of passion. Rosa wants what she never lost. And Toni said, enough of this gay banter. That's what she said. Megan Bain and Penelope Ford, you're about to be double-teamed like you've never dreamed. Rosa said, tonight you meet the team of... But before she could finish, Toni interrupted and said, Thunder Tits. And Rosa said, look, it's Thunderstorm. And Toni said, not anymore, it's not. And this got a Thunder Tits chant from the live crowd, who, they love that. And Renee looked like she was barely able to keep it together during this segment as Toni was talking. I mean, can you blame her? Can you blame her? I'm surprised she was able to keep it together without cracking too. So Thunder Tits got over big in Minnesota tonight. Honestly, I think Thunder Tits would get over no matter what city they're in. It got over with me. Kyle Fletcher. I don't know if it got over with him. I think Sky Blue may have an issue with that, but we had Kyle Fletcher one-on-one against Brody King. Fletcher did the spot early in the match where he ripped his pants off. He had the pull-away pants, the tear-away pants, like he's the fucking Angel Garza out here. Don Callis tried to yell at Fletcher to turn around, and when he did, King caught him with a scoop slam and a running senton. Brody sent Fletcher over the top rope to the floor with a clothesline. That took us into the commercial break. Fletcher got sent outside a little bit later on, and Brody followed with a tope suicida. So he placed him on a chair, and King wanted the crossbody up against the barricade. Fletcher, though, ended up posting him, and then he hit a PK. He hit a tope suicida of his own. Fletcher wanted the count out. Brody, though, broke the count back in at the count of eight. Fletcher quickly headed up top for an elbow drop, only got two. He wanted a brain buster. King reversed into an exploder into the corner. And then he wanted a pile driver on the apron. Fletcher escaped. Brody, though, hit a Death Valley driver on the apron, tumbled to the floor. And that took us into the second commercial break of this match. We got a slugfest on the other end of it. Gonzo bomb attempt. Fletcher slid out, though, took out the knee, hit a stalling tombstone for a close two. So Fletcher went for a corner charge. And Brody turned him inside out. Great lariat. He knocked this fucking guy inside out. Both men stumble to their feet. King gets a splash. Callis, though, takes the referee. And this allows Mark Davis to show up. He saves Fletcher from a cannonball. King tried to fight his way out of the corner, but Davis ran distraction. Fletcher gouged the eyes, and he hit his turnbuckle brainbuster for the win. So after the match was over, Callis, he shook Davis's hand. Aussie opened. They put the boots to Brody King until Powerhouse Hobbs music hit. And Excalibur said that because there was a match scheduled for this show between Powerhouse Hobbs and Mark Davis. And he said that match wasn't scheduled until later in the show. So you got the heels in the ring, and they're waiting for Hobbs to come out. And we actually had a smart baby face for a change. We don't get this too often on any of these wrestling shows. We actually had a smart baby face and not a dumb baby face. And Hobbs, instead of coming out through the tunnel, he came out through the crowd. And so he snuck into the ring behind these men and attacked them. King hit a clothesline that sent himself and Kyle Fletcher out over the top rope all the way to the floor. This match here, this got almost 15 minutes, and it was a really good match. Brody King, he loses more than he should. He loses more than he should. But even in defeat, crowd was firmly behind him here. Meanwhile, what it does is it gets Kyle Fletcher back in the win column, coming out of his loss to Will Ospreay at Revolution. So that was kind of the purpose of this match here. So what do we get out of this? We got a really good match. And again, it gets Kyle Fletcher, who is somebody they have been trying to sort of build around, or at least build up, and gets him a W on the show. So it served a purpose in that respect. Like Takeshita later in the show, there's no hint of where he's going next. Is he going to enter the Owen? Yeah, the Owen, even though we don't have a start date yet on this, and by the way, they have not formally announced that the winner of the Owen will be in the main event challenging for the world championship in Texas at All In. I have to assume that's going to be the hook for the tournament. I don't think they've officially said that yet, but let's assume that it is. They've already done a good job, at least, of starting to stockpile some big names. We know Will Ospreay has declared. We know Hangman Page has declared. Later on in this show, Jay White formally declared for that tournament. I don't see any reason why Kyle Fletcher wouldn't. I don't see any reason why MJF wouldn't. They have the potential here to really create the most star-studded, you know, by AEW star standards, star-studded field that they have had yet in the Owen. You know, and all due respect to Mark Briscoe and Dustin Rhodes and people like that, we need bigger names here in this tournament if we are going to buy into the idea that whoever wins is potentially going to headline their big stadium show in July. And so the names we've gotten so far, I like it. Hopefully they can add a few more. A Takeshita, it's another great example. I know in the past Tony has probably not wanted to beat some of these people, and that's why they have not been in the tournament. But when you got a world championship shot on the line, it only makes sense that all of these people would want a piece of that. So hopefully we'll get a few more big names announced very soon. They came back from the break, and we are told by Excalibur that it has been chaos this entire break. We see Powerhouse Hobbs is still at ringside. Mark Davis is over by the stage. They're being separated and kept apart by Christopher Daniels and security. And I almost missed it. I almost missed it. And I thought my eyes were deceiving me. And I had to rewind to make sure. But sure enough, I noticed that our old friend Von Wagner from NXT was one of the security geeks tonight. Look at that. He's even got the official shirt with the AEW logo on it. I haven't seen this guy in forever. I totally forgot about him. Von Wagner. I wonder if this may be his foot in the door. I don't know. I don't know if maybe he got a tryout tonight, or maybe he lives in the area and he's like, hey, I'm available, you know, like an extra. I don't know. A lot of the security geeks on these shows, they don't look like him, though. He has a unique look. So I saw that and I said, my God, I can't believe it. I totally forgot about this guy. Von Wagner is All Elite. Or maybe not. I have no idea. Don Callis joined on commentary and said that Hobbs should be arrested. He didn't say for what. Davis and Hobbs, they toss the security guards from the ring. The bell sounds. So we're getting our match now. And so they're going back and forth with the clubbing blows. Callis said that he replaced Hobbs in the family because Davis is bigger, stronger, and tougher. Sure. Davis hit a sliding forearm to the face in the corner. Hobbs hit a backdrop off of a pile driver attempt. Followed that with a snap power slam. Hobbs lowered the straps. And both men looked like they were on different pages at this point, because it looked like Hobbs was going for a spine buster right at the moment that Davis looked like he was going for an enziguri. And both men ended up falling down. They recovered. Davis did hit the enziguri, ended up running into a spine buster, and that gave Hobbs the quick win. This went maybe 3 minutes. A bit of a clumsy finish there. The positive here, let's talk about the positive and the negative. The positive is that they have done what I was hoping they would do when we started really seeing Powerhouse Hobbs featured again on TV, which is getting him consistent time on TV. One of the things that he fell victim to before, he would show up, maybe he'd win some matches, and then he would disappear. Or he would be reduced to Rampage or Collision only. We wouldn't see him on Dynamite. And I said, if you want people to start taking this man more seriously and really start pushing him, the most important thing to that is getting him more visibility on the show. And to do that, you have to have him on the show either every week or damn near every week. The positive is that they've done that. Hobbs is usually a presence on this show, so that's a good thing. The bad thing is he is still hanging around the Callis family and feuding this never-ending feud with the Callis family. And beyond that, there is no sense of direction for this man. What are they building him for? Is he going to be in the Owen? Right? I mean, what is the direction here for Hobbs? It's great that he's on the show, but now you actually have to come up with something for him to do. You already had him in the ring with Jon Moxley for the championship, and he didn't win. So now you've got to come up with something else for him to do. I feel like he's been having this back and forth with the Callis family now for months, and there's no sense of what the end game is here, when it's going to be over, who he's going to be wrestling. Are they going to put him back in the ring with Takeshita? They've already done that before. I don't know where they're going with him. They got to move this forward, because the more he just does this, it's not moving the needle for him. So I would like for them to come up with some sense of an actual, you know, direction on what they want him to be doing. Lexi Nair was backstage, and she was with the Patriarchy, all except Christian Cage, the leader, who was not there tonight. And she asked Nick Wayne, what's going on with you? And Nick said, things are finally making sense as to why Christian did what he did at Revolution, but he'll address Christian when he's there to go face-to-face with him. Last week was how you properly, emphasis on properly, execute a plan, and then he ends up walking off. Left his mother behind, too, by the way. Mother Wayne was standing there. Kip Sabian was there. Left his mother behind. This week's episode is sponsored by our friends at Green Chef. A lot of people want to lose weight. They want to eat healthier. So they go on a diet. And what happens? They end up starving themselves. And for what? Even if they see results, invariably they end up going right back to their bad habits. Fads don't work. They come and go. What you want is a lifestyle change, and that's where Green Chef can help. Green Chef is the number one meal kit for clean eating, delivering pre-portioned and prepped quality whole foods with limited processed ingredients. With Green Chef, you're eating real clean foods, and they make it easy with recipes for a variety of lifestyles and dietary needs. It's about creating better eating habits that last. And Green Chef makes it easy with dietitian-developed recipe options featuring fresh, organic produce and quality whole foods delivered to your door each week. With pre-made sauces and pre-portioned ingredients, there's less prep and less mess, and more time to savor delicious restaurant-quality meals. Stay on track even on your busiest days with salads ready in 5 minutes or less, ready-to-blend smoothies, and grab-on-the-go protein-packed breakfast options. I got my latest box just last week. And the other night, I cooked up the chicken with basil pea stew. It had roasted red peppers in there, jasmine rice, artichokes. I can take it or leave it when it comes to the artichokes. I always gravitate, though, towards the chicken dishes. It was ready to serve in about half an hour, and it was delicious. And it's great. You get a sheet listing all of the ingredients, what you're going to need, any food allergens that you need to be aware of. And on the back, they take you through the process step by step, so you can't screw anything up. It's not only a time saver for me, but it tastes good and it doesn't leave me hungry for something else when I'm done. You may have heard me talk about HelloFresh before. Did you know that Green Chef is owned by HelloFresh? With a wider array of meal plans to choose from, there's something for everyone. I like switching between the two. And now all of you, all my little monsters, can enjoy both brands at a discount just for being a Solid Monster Sounds Off listener. Thrive all year with clean, easy meals from Green Chef. Go to greenchef.com/solidmonsterfree and use code SOLIDMONSTERFREE, all one word, to get started with free salads for 2 months, plus 50% off your first box. That's greenchef.com/solidmonsterfree and use code SOLIDMONSTERFREE to get started with free salads for 2 months, plus 50% off your first box. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well. Renee was backstage after this with Hangman Adam Page, and mentioned that Hangman was entering the Owen Hart tournament. Swerve Strickland showed up. He was very angry. He said that, look, I know I got a busted eardrum here, but did I hear you say that you were going to get into my business with the AEW World title and you wanted to get the AEW World title back? And Hangman said, bitch, did I stutter? Again with the bitch. Prince Nana came in and had to pull Strickland away. After that, we got the sit-down interview conducted earlier today by Tony Schiavone with Adam Copeland, Dax Harwood, and Cash Wheeler. Tony said that all three guys are basically next-door neighbors, and that Copeland is responsible for some of the biggest breaks in FTR's career. So what happened last week? Now, if you missed the show last week, we had the rematch between Cope and Mox, and when the match was over, FTR interfered in the match as well. Didn't matter in the end. Moxley won. Dax Harwood walked away. When Adam Copeland was reaching up for a handshake, he left the ring. So now we get the follow-up here. Why? Why? What happened there? Why did he do what he did? So Dax interrupted, and he apologized. Said his emotions got the better of him. He says, you know, their goal was always the AEW tag team titles. But after 4 months of helping Cope and after two tries of him trying to win the AEW world title and not happening. So Copeland quickly interrupted him and said, Dax is making it seem like he kept them from the tag team titles, but that wasn't his intention. He wanted to help them. As the Death Riders attacked them, they put bags over their heads. I was only trying to help. Harwood said he knows that wasn't Cope's intention, but he just feels they took their eye off the prize. He said that they were directionless for 4 months. They're not the only guys in this company that are directionless. But he said they were directionless for 4 months. Cash Wheeler interrupted. He said, look, I can't stand the two of you guys fighting. He goes, my two best friends. He said everybody knows that he and Harwood are they're best friends, but not many know what Cope has done for him. He said that when Wheeler was struggling, living in his car, homeless, Copeland gave him a place to live with no worries. He wants his two best friends to be on the same page. And Harwood again apologized. He said, again, I took things too far last week. But we helped Cope go for his goals. Their goal, though, is the tag team titles and the Hurt Syndicate. And Wheeler cut him off and said, I still think that this rated FTR thing, we should still go for the Trios titles. I think that we could still be the Trios tag team champions. And Copeland agreed, said that if there's juice left in the tank, let's do it. Let's challenge the Death Riders to a Trios title match at Dynasty. Harwood agrees, maybe reluctantly, and says, top guys out. Copeland interrupts and says, rated FTR out. And Harwood nodded in agreement, as if to say, like, okay, but he wasn't very pleased as the segment came to an end. I like this. I like what they did here. The turn. Are we going to get the turn at Dynasty? They're not going to break up FTR. I mean, that would be the stupidest thing they could. What are you going to do? You're going to have Cash Wheeler go solo? Dax Harwood? You're going to have, you know, Hair and Bald go their separate ways and have individual singles runs? No. So where one goes, the other follows. The only question is there a turn at Dynasty and they beat down Cope? Does it come after a loss? Does it come at the end of the match? Do they lose? And then things just get even more heated between them and they save, you know, whatever turn may be coming for another time. I think there's a turn coming at Dynasty. Like, as I sit here right now, I feel like there's a turn coming at Dynasty. And I think that at the end of the day, we're looking at Texas. We're looking at FTR against Cope and Christian, possibly for the tag team titles. The Hurt Syndicate may well lose those titles to FDR. That's going to be hard to do because FDR has been dead for many years, although that'd be a great fucking match. No, the Hurt Syndicate, they may well lose the tag titles to FTR. Not FDR. At Double or Nothing. And that way it could be a tag team title match in Texas. It's like, who else is the Hurt Syndicate going to lose the titles to? I have no interest in seeing them lose them back to the Young Bucks when they come back. I have no interest in seeing that at all. What other team right now has even been teased or set up to potentially challenge, like legitimately challenge these men that you could see, okay, those guys are going to beat the Hurt Syndicate. The Murder Machines, who never win a match. Action Andretti. And Leo Rush, I mean, give me a break. Top Flight. That'll go about as well as Private Party's efforts went. But that's where I think, ultimately, I think things are... Now, it doesn't have to be a title match in Texas, but I think it probably ends up being a title match. Swerve Strickland. He was out next. FDR and Teddy for tag team champs, says Mike. What do you think about that team? Good old Teddy Roosevelt, FDR. I'd root for them. The Butcher and the Blade. Are the Butcher and the Blade even with AEW anymore? I never heard they weren't. I haven't checked on the roster page to see. That's my point. You just proved my point. Like, who else is there? Like, reasonably... and they would have to be a babyface team. Actually, I guess they wouldn't have to be a babyface team. The Hurt Syndicate are basically babyfaces. Everybody cheers them. They're one of the most popular acts in the entire company. They basically, the fans have deemed them babyfaces. Even though I was still kind of looking at them as heels, but I can't sit here and say that they really are. Anyway, Swerve was out next to the ring to call out Jon Moxley. Moxley's music hits. Everybody groans. He walks out from the crowd all by himself. Prince Nana leaves the ring. He's on the floor outside. So it's just Mox and Strickland in the ring together. And Swerve says that he's been allowing this to go on for far too long. People have been asking him since October. How come he hasn't gone back after the AEW World Championship? People have asked him this question. They've said that Swerve hasn't lent a hand to fight the Death Riders and he asked, what happened to Moxley? What happened to you, man? You used to be revered and respected, and you went hand in hand with the AEW World title. And now, Moxley, you hide behind Claudio and Pac, or Pac, as he said, but it's Pac. Pac and Yuta and Marina Shafir, and you've got the nerve to say that no one wants to be the world champion, but Moxley doesn't have the nerve to be the champion himself, which is the reason why he hides the title away in a small little briefcase. He can't stand to look at himself in the mirror holding it anymore. Strickland asked Moxley how his back is doing after that dumb spot with the nails on last week's show. And he said how everything Moxley used to describe himself as is looking at him right in the face. And they had a tense face-off here for a moment. Claudio suddenly appears. He's got the briefcase in his hand. And he's suddenly outside the ring standing behind Prince Nana, who has no idea. He's completely oblivious to this. And Strickland kind of turned his head and he glared. And Moxley was like, easy there. He's kind of calling off the dogs. So Claudio just stood there outside. Moxley said it's not about himself at Dynasty, it's about Strickland and questions who and what he is really. Moxley knows exactly who Strickland is and what he could be, as he had high hopes for him, but on April 6th, he'll give Strickland the chance to step in and be everything that he thinks he could be. But how far is Swerve willing to go? I want to highlight that line because I'm going to come back to it. How far are you willing to go, he said. Not just on April 6th, but every day when you're in pain and you're tired and when you have the weight of the world bearing down on your shoulders and everybody is gunning for you, will you endure it or will you look for a way out and take others with you? Moxley said Strickland hasn't suffered enough yet, but he will at Dynasty. Moxley's sport has been taken over by billionaires, Hollywood talent agencies, and kids who see the world through an Instagram filter. But guys like Strickland give Moxley hope for the future, making him believe that what he put his body through was for a reason. Moxley said he's not going to give it to him, though. He's going to have to work for it. He's going to make Strickland work for it. He's not about handouts. Moxley said that it shouldn't be a problem for Swerve because Swerve is, quote, the most dangerous man, as he calls himself, in all of AEW. So Marina Shafir, she charges to the ring, gets up on the apron. She's got a crowbar. Almost immediately, Willow Nightingale is right behind her. She gets up on the apron, and she has a pipe. So that neutralizes Marina. And he goes, what's wrong? This is Swerve now. He goes, what's wrong, John? Strickland said Moxley is finally facing someone who's smarter than he is. You want to talk violence? Boy, I am violence. Moxley bled pints. I bled buckets. Moxley fought in Texas death matches while I won them. Strickland says he'll continue to lead the Dynasty era, and while he's doing that, you can have fun playing Jon Moxley on TV. So Moxley called off Claudio and called off Marina Shafir. They all retreat into the crowd. Now, Shafir is very upset, so instead of following them, she goes back and sweeps the legs out from Willow, who is standing on the apron, and so they start fighting. And Claudio comes over, literally has to carry Marina away into the crowd. They're holding Willow back as well. And that was the segment. So what was this, really? This was more of the same from Jon Moxley. His promos are all the same. Now, he talks about as if he's trying to fight for some greater good, and it's the same kind of nonsense over and over again, and people aren't buying what he's selling. Yeah, there's a reason why this is very boring. And his promos and so many of the matches that he's had, the stuff with Cope, it's awful. It's awful. And this is the champion. This is the top feud. This is the top heel faction in this company right now. So what did we get here? We got more of the same from him and all the Death Riders. There was really nothing different here in that regard. But the line that I told you to remember is when he looks at Swerve and he says, how far are you willing to go? And I hear him say this line, and I was floored by this, because this is, first of all, he's talking to this man as if he hasn't already been the AEW world champion. Like, you don't know you have the weight of the world on your shoulders, and, you know, the commitment and enduring pain, and are you prepared for that? As if this man wasn't the fucking world champion from April last year until Wembley Stadium when he lost to Bryan Danielson. I think this man knows what it's like to be the world champion, okay? That's number one. Number two, how far are you willing to go? This is the man who broke into Hangman's home. This is the man who, you talk about bleeding buckets and some sick shit, wrestled Hangman in one of the most, if not the most, violent match that I have ever seen in any company. This is the man who went into the steel cage with Hangman Page and did it again. How far is this man willing to go? Does he not watch the show? What kind of question is that? It's ridiculous. Here's hoping this ends in Philadelphia. Reign number two for Swerve Strickland. It may not last that long. You know, he may win the title and then lose it in Texas, but here's hoping. Here's hoping they do the right thing and they don't drag this shit out until July. God forbid. If Rated FTR, put it like this, if Rated FTR don't win the Trios titles from the Death Riders at Dynasty, I actually think that would make it even more likely that we're going to get a title match on that show, so at least that championship changes hands. Fingers crossed. I hope so. Now in the back, Katsuyori Shibata, apparently, we didn't see him, but apparently he was the cameraman. He was filming Samoa Joe and Hook walking backstage, where Joe is asking Hook, why did you hold on to Red Rum for so long on Max Caster on Collision? For those of you who don't watch Collision, he put Max Caster in Red Rum. And Hook said, man, he's fun to choke out. All of a sudden, Joe spots off in the distance there. Max Caster is having a conversation with Top Flight, trying to get them to do his stupid chant. So Caster notices Shibata with the camera. Joe, meanwhile, sneaks up and chokes him out. And then he smiles and he looks at Hook and he goes, you know what? That was kind of fun. So after this, Renee was backstage with Switchblade Jay White, who officially entered the Owen Hart Cup tournament. Now, he told us a few weeks ago that he was going to go after the championship. Now he made it official. He is in the Owen Hart Cup, which we still have no start date for. Last year, he said it didn't work out so well for him. He lost the Hangman thanks to Christian Cage. Then he got hurt. He was out for months in the process. Before we get to the tournament, how about one of the original Collision Cowboys returns this Saturday night? And he issues an open challenge to anyone who thinks they may be more deserving of that spot. Ah, yes. The old open challenge. You know, Max Caster already has an open challenge going every week. Do we really need another one? We had Top Flight with AR Fox in their corner against Alex Finley and Devo Knight. Top Flight, they are from Minneapolis. So them being in Minnesota tonight, they got a great reaction. Action Andretti and Leo Rush were shown sitting in the crowd watching the match. Big Bill and Brian Keith, they were shown watching from backstage a little bit later on. Darius Martin, he hit almost, it was almost a spear into a Manhattan drop on Finley. And it was just very awkward the way they sort of collided, like their wires got crossed. And Darius's leg got bent underneath him in a very ugly way. And thankfully, he got up and he was okay. But, you know, he tore his ACL a few years ago. So I saw that and I said, shit. But once he got back up, it was like, all right. And for the finish, Darius, he dropped Knight with a Ryback shell shock. And Dante came off the top with a huge frog splash for the win. They also announced that Top Flight will be wrestling Big Bill and Brian Keith on Collision this Saturday. We got a video package for Will Ospreay, who is not there tonight, but he was shown saying that it's time for him to lead AEW into a new generation. When you hear this is where the best wrestle, he says it's where Billy wrestles and it's time to restore the feeling. Again, with this restore the feeling nonsense. Restore the feeling. You know why they say that, by the way, right? Because Will Ospreay, all these guys, they take so many bumps on their fucking neck that they have no feeling in some of their limbs. And so they want to restore the feeling with all the freaking bumps on the back of their neck that these guys take. That's where this whole thing originates from. So anyway, he's going to be live on Dynamite next week. We had Mark Briscoe against Konosuke Takeshita, who, as I said earlier, making his HOG debut April 25th. That's a Friday night in New York City. We got Takeshita coming in. He's wrestling Mike Santana. Oh, my God. What a fucking match that's going to be. Don Callis again joins on commentary, and he said that despite being a degenerate, Mark Briscoe is a fantastic wrestler. Takeshita cut him off on the ropes early and hit a huge superplex. Briscoe sent Takeshita over the top rope with a clothesline. Then he geared up for a dive, but Takeshita quickly recovered. slid back into the ring, and as Briscoe came off the ropes, he mowed him down with a boot. They go to the apron. Takeshita spiked Briscoe with a DDT as things went to commercial. When they came back, Briscoe took control, and he dragged Takeshita to the floor. This time he hit a somersault senton off the apron and a cannonball suicida. Briscoe then climbed up on top of the barricade, and he ran the barricade and came off with an elbow drop, headed back into the ring. He was looking for Froggy Bow, but he missed. Takeshita hit a wild release German suplex. Briscoe no-sold it, and he turned Takeshita inside out with a lariat for two. Callis, he could see at this point, things are getting a little dicey. He could see victory is potentially slipping away here. And so he leaves commentary. He's going over to cheer Takeshita on at ringside. Briscoe wanted a J-driller. Takeshita spun out into a forearm battle. Takeshita missed the home run lariat. Briscoe hit the J-driller, but Takeshita got his foot on the bottom rope to break up the pin attempt. Briscoe wanted the cutthroat driver, but Takeshita wiggled free. He hit a rolling elbow and then the raging fire for the win. Another really good match. This was very similar in that regard to the Kyle Fletcher Brody King match where they got time. That match got more time than this one did, but both matches very good, and they effectively served the same purpose because both of these men lost at Revolution. Takeshita lost to Kenny Omega. Kyle Fletcher lost to Will Ospreay. Tonight, Kyle Fletcher got back in the win column. I think Takeshita has wrestled a match or two since then. Fletcher hadn't, so he was already back in the win column, I think. But this helps get Takeshita back in the win column, and that's all well and good. I just wish we got a better sense of where they're going with this guy. He's not just another guy. Like, Fletcher is somebody who clearly they are building up, and I think Fletcher one day should get there. Takeshita's there. He's there, and if he's not there, he should be. And so he lost the championship to Kenny Omega. We know where things are headed, right? Takeshita is out of the picture. Now it's Omega, it's Okada, it's Texas. We can see it. We can see it coming. Great. What happens with Takeshita now? Is he just going to be, you know, another member of the Callis family, and he'll just be racking up random wins on TV? Like, I want to get a sense of where they're going with him, because he is legitimately one of the top five in the entire company. When I think of top five, I think of Ospreay. I think of Tony, in no particular order. Ospreay, Tony Storm, Takeshita, Omega. I think got to put Omega on there. Swerve, right? There you go. That's like your core right there. You want to get the best possible matches. You want to take the guys that I think are the most, you know, the guys and girls that I would build around. Like, that's your core crew right there. That's who they should be building around. I just would like to get some more clarity on, like, what is this man doing next? Is he going to be in the Owen? He should be. He should be. They should announce that, you know, next week, since everybody is announcing. But I hope they have some good direction planned for him, because he's just too good to just be meandering around. So now we're backstage with the AEW Trios champs. Oh joy, the Death Riders. Claudio, Pack, Wheeler, Yuta. Yuta said that he already hates FTR's guts, while Cope tried to rip him from his family, but his family is much stronger than Cope's. And Claudio said that when the going gets tough, you start throwing hissy fits. Pac said that it's their arrogance they find so hard to stomach. It's rated FTR who has the audacity to challenge them. Said, that's not how things work around here. They challenge rated FTR to survive the Death Riders at Dynasty. Then we had Alicia Atoot in the back, approaching the Hurt Syndicate backstage, asking if MJF is in or is he out. MVP politely asked her to step aside. And so now we get the Hurt Syndicate by themselves, and they're talking amongst themselves. And Bobby Lashley questions why MVP would tell them to take a vacation, as he did a few weeks ago. And then they turn around and they see him on TV with MJF. Like, what's going on here? MVP said, after Revolution, you guys earned time off, but I don't take time off. So that's not why I'm here. I came to work. business never stops and the money never sleeps. And he says, now, we've been talking about adding a fourth member for a while now, and so I went ahead and I made a move. Said, what's the problem? And Lashley said, so you like him? He goes, yeah, I like him. Lashley thinks he's grimy. MVP says, I like the fact that he's got some reprehensible qualities. Because if you guys don't want him in the crew, it's something that we can revisit, but right now we need to focus on this Big Bill situation. I think MVP took care of the Big Bill situation earlier in the show. I think he already took care of him. The main event was Timeless Toni Storm and Thunder Rosa. Thunder Tits. I love that name. I'm going to start using that. I don't know for what. I don't know what I'm going to use it for. I don't know if I'm going to use it as an insult. You know, someone I walk up to in the store that really pisses me off, I'll just call them Thunder Tits and run away. Like, I don't know. I have to think about it, but I love the name. So we had Thunder Tits against Megan Bain and Penelope Ford. Excalibur was very upset that Justin Roberts did not use the name that Toni Storm suggested when they talked to her earlier in the show, although there was a Thunder Tits sign very visible in the front row, visible on camera. So the heels had control on Thunder Rosa during the final commercial break. Penelope Ford, she punched Toni off the apron before hitting her handspring back elbow to Thunder Rosa. Then she licked her face. Rosa and Ford, they slug it out until they collide with a double clothesline. Toni Storm, Megan Bain, they tag in finally and they collide. Bain no-sold her clotheslines. Toni clotheslined her to the floor. Bain, though, landed on her feet like she's the Undertaker. And pulled the champion out of the ring. After being sent into the ring steps, Toni hit a tornado DDT, rolled back into the ring where Ford met her with a matrix cutter. Rosa returned with a Death Valley driver on Penelope. Bain then reappeared, laid out Rosa, but Storm came back in to fight her off. So there was a leg sweep in the corner that led to sweet cheek music. Megan Bain, though, no-sold it, and Storm could not believe it. She could not believe what she was seeing. Ford got a waist lock. Storm moved, though. Bain hit her partner by accident with a pump kick. Storm charged at Megan, got dropped, though, with the F5, or as she calls it, Fate's Descent. And that gives Megan Bain not only the win, but the clean pin on the AEW Women's World Champion. And Toni Storm, when this show was over, they showed the expression on her face. And this woman, she looked like she was gotten to. She was gotten to. She could not believe it. She doesn't know what she needs to do to put this woman down now as we are heading into this championship match at Dynasty. So I like that. I like that expression that she had. I thought the match itself was okay. By no means was this the best match on the show. It wasn't. The two Callis family member matches, those were the best matches on the show. But another strong showcase for Megan Bain. That doesn't even matter. That's what matters. It was another strong showcase for the challenger going into the pay-per-view. They have done everything that they can possibly do over the last several weeks without Megan Bain even saying a word to make her as strong and as legitimate a contender as possible and to really portray her as a genuine threat to Toni's title in a way that nobody else really has so far. Question now is, what do you do when you get to Dynasty? Because this woman has been unstoppable. Now she actually pinned Toni Storm's shoulders to the mat. It's hard for me, after seeing the finish they did tonight, to envision that she's going to do it again at the pay-per-view. I would be leaning right now towards a Toni Storm win, but how do you do it? You know, for her to go in there and just beat Megan Bain clean doesn't really feel like the right decision. So do you do a disqualification, keep things alive, and then maybe run it back at Double or Nothing? Do you have Megan Bain go over and win the Women's World Championship? Toni Storm is super over right now, and she didn't win the belt back that long ago, right? It's been what, a month and a half? Are they going to do a title change and put the belt on Megan? I'm not feeling that right now. If they do, I mean, that's great for Megan Bain. Then that run that she's been on will just continue. But I don't see that happening. So I'm looking at either some sort of a disqualification or there are ways that you can do even like a clean finish without interference or weapons or anything like that, where Megan Bain loses, but you can still try to keep her strong. It's kind of like the way Undertaker beat Kane in their first match at WrestleMania, right? Undertaker beat everybody with a tombstone. How did he beat Kane in that match? He beat him with three. And you saw a little bit of that tonight, where no matter what Toni Storm did, it wasn't enough. If she goes in there and she beats Megan Bain and it takes, you know, five Storm Zeros or something, like there are ways that you can do it that don't, you know, bury the opponent and keep them strong enough to run it back again. So I would think that we'll get something like that if Megan isn't going to win the championship, but they've done a great job so far of getting her to this point. I really can't say anything bad about that. She does have to talk at some point. We need to hear her, you know, cutting promos. I don't know why they put Penelope Ford with her. If Ford wasn't going to do some of the talking for them, that really hasn't happened yet. They haven't even explained that whole, you know, partnership. But as far as what they've done with Megan, they've done all they could. Now we just wait for the match. Again, overall, we got a couple of really good matches. We had the Hurt Syndicate stuff with MJF and the Hurt Syndicate stuff later in the show with MVP, which is, you know, mildly intriguing as far as where that's going to go. I like the rated FTR sit down. Yeah, I can kind of see where things are headed there. At least Cope's out of the title picture now. Well, the world title picture. He moved from the world title picture to the trios title picture, but that's okay. I don't mind that. We had the Swerve and Moxley face-to-face. Moxley, you know, whatever. The Swerve thing, though, I thought Swerve was strong in that segment. And then the women to close the show, second week in a row. On the whole, I thought it was good. I enjoyed more than I did not on this show. Let's take a look at this poll we have going in the live chat with nearly 500 votes in. 63% thumbs up, 37% thumbs down. So an overall positive score so far. And we'll keep that poll going here for the remainder of the stream. If you want to vote, it is in the live chat. You guys know where to go. There you go. Now let's get into your super chats. See what you guys thought of this show and whatever else may be going on right now. Rated FTR going for the trios titles. I would love to see the Death Riders, frankly, just lose all their titles. But honestly, the trios titles, I don't really much care about that as much as I do the world championship. That's my main concern. Getting that title off Moxley as soon as possible. Hey, Groovy Goose, what's going on? Groovy Goose came in with the opening super chat a little bit earlier tonight. We don't have too many to go through here. Groovy Goose says, had a rough week so far. Glad I got a chance to chill and watch Wrestling and Solid Monsters review. Well, you know I'm always here. Same time, same channel every single week. You know where to find all of us. Hope your week gets better. Demetrius Hodge, thank you for the 10 spot. After that sit-down interview, I'm starting to get FTR heel turn vibes. Do you think they are going to turn on Cope at Dynasty? I do. I think Dynasty is probably the place where it happens. If not, it'll be not long after that. Duff's Vids, what is the easiest building to pick up? A lighthouse. Okay, all right. Very good. Thank you, Duff. David Thering with that $150 bomb. Again, I gotta give him the yes treatment. I gotta do it. The crowd is going wild for you, David. Thank you, brother. You are the king of the bombs tonight. Love you, brother. Joseph Stewart, was Triple H versus John Cena the original plan for WrestleMania 23 before Shawn Michaels against John Cena? Yes. And then Triple H got hurt, and so they had to pivot to Shawn Michaels as the challenger instead. Mr. Rod, an okay show at best, just counting down the days when Swerve beats Moxley at Dynasty. I hope so, anyway. Yes, you and me both. Thank you for the 20, Mr. Rod. Duff's Vids. How do farmers party? They turnip the beets. Jesus Christ. And I love going outdoors. It's safer than going out the window. You know, that's how they do it in Russia. They got to do something about those windows in Russia. A lot of people end up going out those windows. I don't know, you know. They got to do a better job of securing those things. Bender McSimpson with the $4.99. Tony Khan has swung and missed with the Devil, Elite, and Death Rider stories. He needs to stop looking for his NWO bloodline angles and do simple stories. You know what? The Devil story, it wasn't just a Tony Khan thing. The Devil story was destroyed by injuries. So I can't even put all of that on Tony Khan. But the Elite angle and the Death Rider stuff, yeah, it's just garbage. Duff's Vid says, how does a train hear another train coming with its engineers? Engineers. Engineers. Very nice. Very clever, Duff. Look at all the tomatoes in the chat. Dev to Dust, have you ever been to John's Deli in Brooklyn? No. I've been to plenty of delis. I don't think I've been to John's. I mean, it's possible I've been to one that was owned by somebody named John, but I don't believe the one that you are referring to I have been to. Daddy Ugarte says, in Russia, the window closes you. Yes, it does. We got Brada with the $20 super chat. AEW is quietly having a really good 2025. I can argue they are having a better 2025 than WWE, while their Revolution build was being better than the WrestleMania build. That should not be ignored. The Revolution build being better than the WrestleMania build. I mean, the Revolution card on paper. I would agree that it was probably stronger on paper than WrestleMania is, but I don't know that I could sit here and say the build to Revolution was so great. I mean, I wouldn't be hanging my hat on that. Saying that it's better than the WrestleMania build is kind of a low bar to set at this point. For being honest. Bender McSimpson, random question. What are some of your favorite wrestlers' gear? For example, Jericho at WrestleMania 19, HBK at WrestleMania 12, Seth Rollins, White Power. Boy, I read that wrong. Seth Rollins, White Power Ranger. Not his White Power gear. We'll keep that gimmick on the back burner. He says, Seth Rollins, White Power Ranger gear. that's a very different Seth Rollins gimmick. Well, I mean, it's not like one specific type of gear, but I always loved the paint speckle gear that Brett was wearing in 94. I always loved that. I always loved the different colored singlets like the Steiner brothers would wear. And then Bron Breakker, when he started working in NXT, he was wearing a lot of the same types of singlets. As far as like an individual event, I don't know. You know what? Justin mentions Mortis. Mortis had a cool look. Mortis never got a fair shake. He had some tryout matches in WWE. They uploaded them a few months ago to the Vault channel. And I thought they were pretty good matches. And it sucks that he never got a shot with that gimmick. It got shut down because somebody said it was too similar to The Undertaker, so we can't have Mortis. Meanwhile, I'm sitting here thinking, well, why don't you bring the guy in to wrestle The Undertaker? Ever think about that? Oz and Glorious, 46 months of channel membership, acknowledge me, he says. Consider yourself acknowledged. Zizu with 34 months. Thank you, Solo, for everything you do. 34 months is a pretty long time. It is. It is. And you're only 12 months behind Oz and Glorious. Oz and Glorious says, why don't Garcia, Yuta, Action Andretti, or Daddy Magic's contracts ever expire by mutual consent? Why is the TNT title being wasted in this way? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the TNT title has never felt as kind of useless, honestly, as it feels right now. Oz and Glorious says, Max Caster has more charisma in his fucking pinky than Hobbs and Wardlow combined. Wow. Please respect the best wrestler alive. Love you, Solo. Hit that like. I'm just waiting for Anthony Bowens to show back up and answer the open challenge. Alex says, Brother Solo, did you get a chance to check out episode 1 of Stephanie's Places with CM Punk? Also, what are your thoughts on that awful fan grabbing Punk and Cody at the house show? Yeah, I saw that video of that woman. Apparently, she's some sort of social media influencer. People recognize her, and I don't know if this is something that she does on a regular basis, but yeah, I mean, it was disgusting. And I don't really give a shit who you are, male, female, how big of a fan you may or may not be. Like, she's touching them, like, on the back of their neck and caressing them. It's like, keep your fucking hands to yourself, you know? And did I check out Stephanie's Places? No. I did watch Dark Side of the Ring. Episode 1 from the new season of Dark Side of the Ring is on... Really, it's a Mick Foley episode, but it's about the Hell in a Cell match from 98. That I watched. And I will have my Dark Side of the Ring review on the podcast this weekend. And Isaac says, Poncho and Macho at WrestleMania 41, your thoughts? Hey, Austin's going to be there. He could be the special referee. I say let's do it. We need Macho coming off the top rope with that elbow, that paw off the top rope. I don't know. Austin would be in an impossible position here because it's like, who does he count the fall for? You know, he doesn't want to count the fall for Poncho and not Macho, or for Macho and not Poncho. Maybe there's a third cat who gets introduced. We have Poncho, we have Macho, we have Camacho. I don't know. We could have a third cat run in. I don't know. I'd love to see it, though. She's an OnlyFans girl, that woman. Okay, good. Let her stay there. Let her keep her hands to herself and touch herself on OnlyFans instead of touching other people. You know, she's lucky that Brandy didn't make the trip to Glasgow. Brandy would not have put up with that shit if she saw that. She would have walked out there that night. Who the hell told you it was open mic night, bitch? And that would have been the end of this woman. She's lucky that Brandy was all the way back home in the States. Oz says, acknowledge Joey Janela because he is a lucky SOB. You know, I guess that would be the connection, wouldn't it? Joey Janela dated Penelope Ford, and now he's dating Megan Bain. Penelope Ford and Megan Bain are tag team partners. It's like this Joey Janela stable is forming. The only person who's not in AEW to be a part of it is Joey Janela, because he's no longer there. But yeah, I forgot about that tie-in there, that connection. Dry Groovy Goose. That woman is lucky it was an open mic night. BlissFan says Buddy Matthews is luckier. BlissFan, are you actually complimenting Rhea Ripley? Are you saying something positive about someone other than Alexa Bliss? I'm shocked. Hey, Joey Janela Harem. That'll be the new name of the faction. They'll bring him back. Have I seen the LFG promo that features Gunther? He is brutal to the prospects. I did see it. I saw where Undertaker said, "That's my guy. I claim him." Gunther is his guy. But yeah, Gunther looked right at one of the prospects. It's a former... She won the gold medal in wrestling. He looked at her and goes, "You want a gold medal in wrestling?" He goes, "It doesn't pay the bills, does it?" He was popping off on everybody there. Chris Manson with the $30 super chat. Thank you, Isaac. Isaac says, congrats on the news of Hogg's new school in Orlando. Yes. House of Glory is expanding its school all the way to Orlando. So we're going to have HOG North and HOG South. And we'll be running shows there in the future as well. So stay tuned. But Chris says, Jamie Hayter back on TV this Saturday. Give me Athena versus Mercedes at All In and Tony versus Jamie. Adam Cole wins the TNT Championship at Dynasty and drops to Ricochet at All In via interference by Samantha Irvin. We move. You know, I can get behind all of that. Everything you just said, I would be fine if it worked out that way. Yes, Tyra May Steele. She is the one who won the gold medal. She was the one that Gunther was addressing. One of the people. He was addressing multiple people in that clip. But you know, if you're them, when the ring general speaks, you would be wise to listen. All right, so the final result of this poll here we got in the chat is 62% up for tonight's show, 38% down. Thank you guys for casting your vote. I do appreciate it. Unfortunately, we are at 360 likes, which means there will be no Be the Booker tonight, which is disappointing, but it happens sometimes, and so we will have to table that until Friday. Now, on Friday, they're going to be in London for SmackDown. So my plan is to watch the show. I'll use my trusty VPN, as all of you should be doing, if you can. And I'm going to be watching the show earlier, and then I'll have dinner and get ready, and we'll probably go live, I would say around 9-ish, probably 9 p.m. or so. I'm definitely not waiting until 11:30. So it'll be an earlier stream on Friday night by, you know, a few hours. I'm not going live right after the live show ends, but I'll keep you posted if that changes. But basically, it'll be like last week. So hopefully you guys can tune in and hang out with me. This European tour is coming to an end very soon. They're in London on Monday for Raw as well. And I think that's it. I think the following SmackDown... I don't know. Is that the show where they're in Chicago? I thought their first show back, their first TV show back, was going to be in Chicago. So the European tour is coming to an end very soon. Revolution is with us. He says, sorry I'm late. Well, at least you're here. At least you're here. Anyone know when SmackDown starts? I believe, as with Raw next Monday, it is 3 o'clock Eastern. Only difference is with SmackDown, if you're here, you're going to have to use a VPN if you want to watch it early. On Netflix next Monday, it's just going to be airing live. You don't need a VPN for that. But you will on Friday if you want to join the rest of us and watch the show live and not have to wait until 8 o'clock at night. I see the likes are going up all of a sudden. I'll give you a couple minutes. See if you guys can get there. Otherwise, I'm going to skip out. It's all in your hands now. But yeah, we had the announcement today that the HOG school is also going to be opening up in Orlando. We have the New York City show. The next New York show is on April 25th. Again, unfortunately, I will not be in New York I will be elsewhere that night, which also is the SmackDown after WrestleMania. So there's going to be a lot going on that night. But then we're in Chicago again on May 9th. And then the very next night, May 10th, is Backlash. So that is going to be a very busy weekend. Alex with the $5 says, Solo, can you name 1,000 of your favorite matches while we increase the thumbs up? No, I can't do that. I will tell you, though, that just the other day we had the anniversary. Is it 28 years? Is it 28? It might be 28 years since Bret Hart and Steve Austin had their submission match at WrestleMania 13, which is one of the greatest matches in the history of the entire company. I'm not even talking WrestleMania. I'm saying in the entire company's history, it is, if not the best match, one of the best matches. I did a watch along for it on the channel. If you're a member, you can go back and check it out. Did that a couple years ago, maybe last year. It's just, it's a great match. That's where they did the double turn, and it's just fantastic. So you want a recommendation? There's your recommendation. Groovy Goose, favorite Bret Hart wrestling gear. I just said it earlier. Go find the paint speckle gear that he was rocking in 94, man. I love that shit. All right, look at this. We just hit 408 likes. You guys are something else. Sometimes it's just a nice swift kick in the ass is all you need. But we did hit the goal. May says, once again, if Be the Booker sucks tonight, it's your guy's fault. That's right. If this ends up being an awful round of Be the Booker, I'm blaming all of you. It's all your fault. Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to Be the Booker.
All right, it is time to Be the Booker. It just, I would feel naked if we didn't do a Be the Booker to end this stream. And trust me, you don't want that. All right, tag team Be the Booker. Start with this. Andre the Giant and Haku. Actually, that was another match. I believe the Vault channel on YouTube uploaded maybe, I don't know, a week ago, sometime in the last week, week and a half, was the tag team title match from WrestleMania 6. Where they lost the titles to Demolition. What a great moment that was. Like, just watch the crowd when that match ends and they get the three count. Andre could barely fucking move. I mean, he was practically immobile at this point. But I just watched that match, I think it was last week. All right, so we have Andre and Haku. The Colossal Connection. Uh-oh. Choose two single stars to form a makeshift team. Hey, Rojo Bear. Shout out to Rojo Bear, celebrating 37 months of channel membership. All right, we got to pick two single stars, it looks like. We're going to form our own tag team to wrestle Andre and Haku. I have no idea how this is going to end. We have Danhausen. I just called a Danhausen match at the Hog Show last week. He comes out to the ring. He has his jar of teeth with him. It's very unnerving. Danhausen and Penta against Andre and Haku. I'm giving it the bell just for Penta and Andre in the same match. Again, Andre could barely move at that point, but Penta and Andre, I'm sorry, that's an automatic bell for me. It's an automatic bell. Very intrigued to see Penta give Andre a Mexican destroyer. I would pay to see that. Women's Be the Booker. We have Shayna Baszler, the Queen of Spades, the former NXT Women's Champion. Oh, whatever happened to that Shayna Baszler? Feels like a lifetime ago. Shayna Baszler against Sensational Sherry. Sherry Martel. Give me Sherry Martel and NXT champion Shayna Baszler. That would be the feud right there. I think Sherry can knock her off and end her run. One more match. I feel like I'm at the podium for my Hall of Fame speech, and everybody is chanting at me, one more match, one more match. I will give you one more match. Not only will I give you one more match, I am giving you the gift of Stone Cold Steve Austin. I do believe we are on the verge of a clean sweep. It would take quite the disaster for it not to be. Stone Cold Steve Austin and Oba Femi. How about that? Stone Cold and Oba Femi. I'll bet that's a match you never fantasy booked in your head. Well, now you get to do so. What would that match look like? What would that match look like? We got ourselves a clean sweep. It's always good to hear Sonic here on the streams. Tom, easy there. Tom just made a mess of himself. Don't get that excited. Veer just came. Apparently Tom did too. You know why we got that match? Because I didn't jinx it. I didn't draw any attention to it before I drew the two wrestlers. That's why we did so well. Prime Austin against Oba Femi. Duff's Vids. Buy or sell for better double turn match for WrestleMania. Brett versus Austin, WrestleMania 13, or Rock versus Hogan, WrestleMania 18. You know, in the Hogan Rock match, it's really all about the kick out after the Rock Bottom and then the Hulk up. That sequence, that one sequence, that whole thing was just magic. Brett and Austin, it was almost more of a subtle thing. It wasn't like, oh, there was like a big turn, like at the end, or there was like a big turn for this one sequence in the match. It was sort of this gradual thing that was taking place. So it's like two completely different types of double turns, I guess you would say. I still lean towards Brett versus Austin, but that whole sequence in Rock and Hogan at 18 was just like, you talk about WrestleMania moments. Like that's a moment. Like that's what WrestleMania is about. It's about those types of moments during a match where the crowd just loses their ever-loving minds. And that near fall was so perfect. I mean, you could see people like in the first few rows, like, they thought the match was over. And oh, it was just so great. I'll still go Brett Austin, though. Like in the bigger picture, it was just so much better. Bliss fan, yeah, Rock didn't turn heel, but he played heel. He once he realized what was going on, he definitely leaned into the heel aspect. So yeah, he didn't turn heel. But he was definitely playing heel a little bit there during that match. And EJ Slemp. Have you watched any other Vice Dark Side series? Your insight on Dark Side of the Ring makes me think what other series you may have missed. I mean, they're doing one like Dark Side of the Cage, I think, right, for UFC, and I think Dark Side of Music. Like, I just don't have any interest in watching any of that stuff. I don't have time for it. There's too much wrestling as it is, and then I have my shows that I like to watch, and I don't want to force myself to watch Dark Side of Music. If I want to watch a documentary on someone, some band, I'll watch it, but I haven't checked out any of the other Dark Side series. I don't even know how many they have at this point. Chris Manson, thank you for the five. You ever have one of your friends or coworkers say, you know that's all fake? Oh, I had a family member. Actually, he was kind of not married into the family, but I'll tell you a quick story. So there was a family gathering many, many years ago. Like a cousin. And we would see, you know, my brother and I and you know, my parents, who were all there. And one of my cousins, she was with some guy I had never met before. I guess they were dating. His name was Bob. We'll call him Bob. And we're all sitting down together, and Bob is trying to make some small talk and seems like a nice enough fellow. We're just talking about random shit, and he starts talking about like the rotisserie baseball league that he's in and all this stuff that I really don't give a shit about. And somehow it came up like I'm a fan of wrestling. Yeah, I'm really big into wrestling, and I don't even know if I had the podcast. I think I did. I think I had the podcast at that point, but it was in like the very early years of the podcast. So I mentioned, yeah, I do like a podcast on wrestling, and you know, he's like, really? Like you watch wrestling? You know, I used to watch it when I was younger. And do you remember like Antonino Rocca? And do you remember Bruno Sammartino? I'm like, yes, I'm well aware of who these people are. Bob, thank you. But he made a similar comment at that point, like, wow, like you still watch it even after all these years. I don't think he used the word fake, but it was kind of like he made some kind of comment like, you know, it's like acting or something. And I was like, yes, Bob, I'm aware of that. Because at this point, like I'm a grown fucking adult, as if I don't know what wrestling is. And this guy, he's like all smug. He's got a big smile on his face. And he's like, yeah, you know, like he said something else that really got under my skin. And I was like, yeah, well, you know what? It's no different than going to the movies. You know, you want to go see a good movie, right? You go to see movies, Bob? He goes, yeah, of course I do. I go, well, it's the same exact concept. I don't think that you go to the movie and while you're sitting there, you know, you kind of lean over to, I won't say her name, but, you know, my cousin, and say, oh, yeah, that looks so fake, you know. But I said it in like a joking way. I didn't say it as if I was like attacking him or anything. But I really nailed him with you know, the whole analogy and everything. And then I was just done with the conversation, and I quickly tried to pivot to a different subject because I could just tell, you know, when you get into a conversation with somebody who's not really either up on what wrestling is, or like they're fascinated that I do this show. And I, so you talk about wrestling, right? But you know, it's all just a show, right? I'm like, yes, you dumb fuck. I'm aware of that. I didn't say that to Bob, although I wanted to, but Bob seemed like a nice enough guy. I didn't want to scare him off. Anyway, enough about Bob. Libido Bell, who is Bret Hart's, who's Bret Hart's Sinister Six? His Sinister Six. Six greatest rivals. Owen. Shawn Michaels. Vince McMahon. Jerry Lawler. What is that, four? Goldberg, of course, right? You got to put Bill Goldberg on that list. That's five. I was going to say perfect, but you got to have Stone Cold on there, right? So you got to have Steve Austin. And actually, if I was to rank them, Austin would be pretty high up there, but Shawn would be number one. But yeah, Shawn, Vince, Austin, Owen, Goldberg. There's your Sinister Six. Bulldog, no. Piper, no. We're talking Sinister Six here, man. Bret didn't hate those people. Chris Manson, it's wild to me that people think we think it's real. Well, because they're idiots. People don't use their brains. And something that they don't follow and they're not really familiar with, you know, they get very dumb and they sound very dumb when they start talking about it. And they're like, well, people actually watch that who aren't like little kids? Because maybe they watched it when they were a kid and they grew out of it. A lot of my friends grew out of it. I was one of the few who didn't. I actually got more into it. But I would say the majority of my friends when I was that age who also watched wrestling fell out of it all kind of around the same time. So, I mean, that's not uncommon. But yeah, I get that occasionally, and it just blows me away every time. Especially now. It feels like wrestling is more mainstream. There's like more of a mainstream acceptance of wrestling in a way that there just wasn't 30 or 40 years ago. And it's just another form of entertainment on TV, and people still look at it and they ask that question. Believe it or not, there are still people who will go around asking that question because they just don't know any better. EJ says there are three types of men: pro wrestling fans, anime fans, or fans of both. I am a proud wrestling fan, and that Bob is a disgrace to Bob's. Well, you'll be happy to know, I don't believe Bob is in the picture anymore. It's been a while since I've seen that particular cousin, but I think Bob may be a thing of the past. It'd be kind of funny if Bob went on to become a huge wrestling fan. He could be listening to the podcast. I mean, he could be listening to this right now. I have to be careful. After I told him I do a podcast, Bob could be a listener. We have Bobby's World, right? I don't see him in the chat tonight. That could be Bobby's World. I may have just insulted Bobby's World. That actually would be hilarious. Libido Bell says, what's the difference between a feud and a rivalry? There is no difference. I mean, those words are used interchangeably. Feud, rivalry, program, if you want to use an insider term. It's all the same shit. That's very brave, talking to Bob Holly like that. I actually got along great with Bob. I got no problem with him. Imagine if Bobby's World Super Chat bombs were an apology. He's carried this guilt around with him for all these years. That would be quite the swerve, wouldn't it? Maze the Great, $5 Super Chat. If this is accurate, is this accurate? Not if. It says, is this accurate? If Cena is Batman, then Edge is the Joker. Orton is Two-Face. Punk is the Riddler. Brock is Bane. And Lita is Harley Quinn. I mean, wouldn't Lita be Poison Ivy? I mean, the rest sound sensible enough. I mean, maybe I would swap Edge and Punk, but, you know, I mean, that sounds about right to me. King Nader says, hey, guy, do you know the wrestlers know who is going to win the match? No, but that actress from Queen of the Ring does. She told us at Revolution. Anyway, thank you guys for a fun stream tonight. I do appreciate all the support. We've had a very strong... Margot Robbie. Of course. Wolf of Wall Street. How can I forget Margot Robbie? Barbie. I will always maintain, though, that Margot Robbie and Jamie Presley are twins. But thank you for the support. We've had a great month of March. We have two more live streams to go. I want to wrap this up. I want this to be the best March that we've ever done here on the channel. So we have SmackDown on Friday, and we have Raw is the final day of March on Monday. So two more live streams this month to go for the month of March. And then, of course, if you missed it, episode 906 of The Sound Off this past weekend. We got 907 coming up this weekend. So plenty of content. Please check it all out. Clips are still going up. There'll be another clip. Actually, we were talking about Brett before. There's a Bret Hart-related mailbag question clip hitting the channel tomorrow morning. So be sure to check that out. Leave a comment. And let me know if you agree with what is said. Be well. Stay safe. I certainly hope that we get a better SmackDown this Friday than WWE has been giving us, because those shows have not been good. But this Friday, we have a contract signing with CM Punk, Roman Reigns, and Seth Rollins. So hopefully they get their shit together. I will see you for the SmackDown recap. Until then, take care, guys.